Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be looking at the story of the fall of man, the story of Adam and Eve as they were in the Garden of Eden, and we'll take this message up here in just a minute. I want to give you a brief rundown of what's happening here in Africa before we start on the message today. We have a team coming in mid-July. That's coming up quickly, just a couple of weeks now. They're going to be here, and we're looking forward to that. We're making preparations now for them to be here. We're going to be doing some work projects in the Makunda area, fixing up houses, doors, windows, maybe even build a house from the ground up, a mud house, of course. That's what most of these people live in around here. And so we're going to be doing that, and then also playing games and crafts and teachings with the children at Living Water Children's Home. And we now have 30 children there at the children's home. The place is just about maxed out as far as capacity goes. And so we have good staff there taking care of the children. We have good provision for them. The children are getting good food and good shelter and good teaching at the public school. And so we praise the Lord for that, that the Lord has provided a good home and a good place, a safe place for these children there at Living Water Children's Home. So if you would like to help support that children's home, support the other endeavors of the ministry in Africa, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and we will have contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. One other mention is that we are making plans to go to Tanzania again, and we're going to go in there and do a crusade in Dar es Salaam, city of 6 million people, and we have a team of pastors on the ground working in Tanzania to make preparation for that crusade. It's going to be a 5-day crusade, and it will be a blockbuster, gangbuster, fire-breathing crusade. We're expecting the Lord to show up and confirm His word with signs, wonders, and miracles. And so we're looking forward to going back to Tanzania again in mid-August. So you can keep that in your prayers. And again, if you would feel led to support that endeavor, stay tuned for contact information at the end of this broadcast. Well, today we're going to be looking at the story of Adam and Eve, and everybody on the earth, just about every religion has a story of the creation of man and how man came to be on the earth. And so we find in the Bible the true story, the story of God's creation of man and how He created Adam, how He created Eve. And so this is our focus for today. As I said before, I've been reading in the book of Genesis, and I encourage all of you, get out your Bible, read through the book of Genesis. You can't understand the New Testament. You can't understand God's plan for your life. You can't understand Jesus and His devotion to you and His love for you and His obedience to the cross. You can't understand any of that unless you have read the New Testament. You have to have an understanding of God's plan, and it comes from God's plan for all mankind, and it is unfolded here for us in the Old Testament, beginning in the book of Genesis. Well, I'm not going to read the first couple of chapters, but I'm going to start in verse 15 of the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And so this is where God speaks to Adam, and He had put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And so I'm going to stop right there and just say God had given Adam His marching orders. God had given Adam His instruction. God had already given Adam his instruction before Eve was even created. So you men out there that are waiting for a wife, you're waiting for God to show you a wife or bring a wife to your side, take heed, take notice that God had already given Adam his instruction before Eve was even created. And so you may be active in a church, you may not even be in a church, but God has given you, man, God has given you your marching orders and your direction before he puts the wife before your side, or he puts the wife at your side. And so get busy working for the kingdom. Get busy in the garden cultivating it. And by that, I mean get busy doing what God has planned for you. Don't sit around waiting for a wife that you hope that the two of you can do something great together. Praise God, I hope you can. But in the meantime, while you're waiting, men, for God to put a godly woman by your side, get busy in the garden, cultivating it, tending it, watering it, keeping it, and get busy doing what God has called you to do. And if you do that, then at the right time, because God's timing is always perfect, at the right time, God will bring a wife to you. He will bring a helpmate to you, and you will then be complete. You will then have a helpmate to help you in your pursuit of God's plan for your life. And beloved, that is what we are about here on this earth, is to seek God's plan for our life and to fulfill God's plan for our life. And many people wander around on the earth. They spend days and nights in bars, single bars, or they spend days and nights in their life pursuing entertainment or pursuing things that are of no godly value. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you, spend time in prayer, spend time talking with the Lord in prayer, spend time in Bible study, which is a mirror of your life, a reflection of your life. Spend time in Bible study that you can then go forward with the plan that God has for you, that he spoke over you even before you were born. You can go forward in that plan and with that plan to walk into your destiny, to be fulfilled here on this earth, to fulfill God's plan and his calling for your life. And then you will start to find satisfaction. You're not going to need drugs. You're not going to need alcohol. You're not going to need perversion of any kind. You're not going to need undue entertainment and leisure and all of those things that bring man down and bring him emptiness and corruption. You're going to just be satisfied and working and taking care of God's plan for your life. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of man to search it out. And so we want to search out God's plan for our life. That is our life's goal, to find out what is your purpose here on this earth. And beloved, when I started to preach the gospel, I felt like I had really found my purpose here on this earth. I had done just about everything good, bad, and otherwise that it is possible to do here on this earth. I have had pursued education. I have a higher degree from a university. I have all kinds of work and vocational skills and have done just a little bit of everything. But when I started to preach the gospel and to reach out to the lost and reach out with the good news of the kingdom, the good news that Jesus saves, when I started to do that and share my life with others, Jesus said, you have to take up your own cross. When you lay down your own life, then you will find your life. And when you take up your own cross and you start to carry your cross up the hill and you start to carry your cross to that place of suffering, then you will start to feel complete. You will start to feel whole. You will start to feel like God has revealed himself to you and that you are now intimate with God in your pursuit of his plan for your life. And so I would just encourage you all to do that today as we look at this story of Adam and Eve. Well, the Lord said that every tree of the garden is good for you to eat except for one tree. And wouldn't you know, that one tree became the downfall of Adam and Eve. Verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, he wasn't talking necessarily about physical death, although at that point in time when they did eat of that tree, they also began to physically die, because up until that time in the Garden of Eden, there was no death, there was no pain, there was no sorrow, there was no affliction of any kind. They were in a place of bliss. They were in a place where they had no worries, no cares. Everything was taken care of for them, and they were in a sin-free, sinless environment. And so when they partook of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, then they began to know evil, and they knew evil in the same way that the angels that fell from heaven, that the demonic angels that went with Satan and fell from heaven, they began to know evil in the same way that those angels knew evil, and they had been cast out of heaven. Well, Jesus told us in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he was talking to the 70 disciples who had returned from their work, and he said to them, well, let's go back to verse 17. Then the 70 disciples returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in it that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, that's a picture of salvation right there. Jesus said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rejoice greatly because your names are written in heaven. Beloved, the greatest miracle, the greatest thing that you can do here on this earth, the greatest place that you can be here on this earth, isn't some resort up in the Rockies. It isn't some tourist place in Paris. I was just in Paris recently, and I could see the Eiffel Tower from the airport where I was, but I didn't go out of the airport to see the Eiffel Tower. But beloved, the greatest place that you can be is in your walk with the Lord. It is to have your name written in the book of life in heaven, so that when you leave this earth, when your last breath has been taken on this earth and you leave this earth, then you are with the Lord for all eternity. And not only that, but you're walking with him, and that you are obedient to him, and you're fulfilling his plan for your life here on this earth. Beloved, that is the greatest place you can be. It's greater than any thing of creation, any waterfall, any mountain, any seashore, any beach. To be walking with the Lord and to have your name written in the book of life, that is the greatest thing that you can do. That is the greatest event that will ever come to be for you on this earth. Well, when Adam and Eve, well, now we're still talking about Adam, because even Eve was not created at this point. God said that this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when you eat of it, you shall surely die. And he started to die. Both Adam and Eve started to die physically after they had eaten of that tree. In other words, death and ailment and sickness, physical ailment, came into their life at that point in time. But also they began to die spiritually, or they faced spiritual death, because at that point they became ashamed of themselves, and they became separated from God, and they hid from God in the garden, and therefore their separation brought them alienation, or brought them enmity from God. And so they were no longer in an intimate and a spirit of oneness and a spirit of obedience with God. They became disobedient, and they became then alienated and wanted to hide from God. And beloved, that is the condition of humankind. If you are living a lifestyle of sin, if you are trapped in sin, you are a slave to sin. If you are living a lifestyle of sin, you are alienated. You have enmity between you and God, and you are alienated from God, and you can no longer have intimacy. Maybe you've never had intimacy with God other than just to know in general terms about Him. Many people pray, but they really don't have a good relationship with God. Many people use God's word, but they don't know Jesus Christ, and they have not repented of their sins, and they have not accepted the blood sacrifice that Jesus made for them on the cross, and so they only know about a generic general God that they may attribute creation to, or they may attribute the good things in their life to. But beloved, God wants you to know Him in an intimate way, and then you can understand His plan for your life. Then you can receive the blood of Jesus, the blood sacrifice that Jesus made for you on the cross, and you can understand sin and repentance, and you can understand God's plan for your life, and then the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will be focused on the good and not on the evil. Yes, you will still have the devil harassing you after you come to know Jesus. You will still have the devil trying to tempt you and torment you after you come to know Jesus. But beloved, by the power and the grace of God and the mercy that He has on us, He will lead you into paths of righteousness, and you shall not want. He will lead you beside still waters, and you shall not want. And so your walk with the Lord will be an intimate walk, or should I say, it can be an intimate walk, and it can be a walk that will strengthen you, and you will fulfill your days here on this earth serving the Lord God. Yes, you're still going to die. That is still part of the fall of man. You're going to die. I'm going to die in a way that's good, because when you are conscious of the fact that you're going to die, when you have that fear of God and that fear of death, and you know you're going to die, then it gives you motivation, it gives you inspiration to get out and do the things that God has called you to do. It gives you motivation to live your life to the fullest each and every day. And by that, I don't mean party gusto like you see the advertisements on TV. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not living life to the fullest. Living life to the fullest is making the most of your life as God has ordained you and as God has planned for your life. Well, so God spoke to them, and He said, on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Both the physical death and the spiritual death then came into the life of Adam and Eve on the day that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, in verse 18, then we see Eve starting to come into the scene here. And the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." Well, God had a plan for man to have a helper, and that's where man and woman came from. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and He brought them to Adam to see what He would call them. And Adam called each living creature and gave it a name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to the every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, one of Adam's ribs, and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Well, there is the creation of woman. Beloved, if you have a good wife, men listening to me today, if you have a good wife, give God praise for her every day, praise her every day, lift her up, build up her countenance, encourage her in her walk with the Lord, encourage her in her walk with you to be a good helpmate to you and take care of your family, take care of your children. And I'm not going to preach about marriage today. That's a whole different subject, but just encourage her and let her know you love her. Tell her every day you love her. Tell her every day you appreciate her, and she will be a good helpmate to you. She will start to perk up, and she will start to be a good helpmate to you and give you the kind of encouragement and the kind of company and companionship that God has desired for you and for her. Well, in chapter 3, now here comes the serpent, and the serpent was in the garden, as I read before. Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. And so the serpent was there. When the garden was created, the serpent was there. Satan was in the lower heavens at that time, and he had been cast out of heaven. And so in verse 1, it tells how the serpent then came to encounter Adam and Eve. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that she was talking about the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, God has said, you shall not eat it, and nor touch it, lest you die. Well, beloved, she knew what the instructions were. She knew what God had spoken to Adam because he had told her, and so she knew what the instructions were at that point in time. They had not touched that tree. But then the wily schemes of the evil one, the wily schemes of the devil, then started to penetrate what she knew to be correct. And in verse 4, here it all comes to a culmination. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, the serpent twisted what God had said. He twisted it, and he said, you're not going to die. So the devil is a liar. Everybody say that. The devil is a liar. We know the devil is a liar. We know he comes to us, and he always twists what God has told us. He always twists what God has given us for instruction, and the devil always makes sin or makes rebellion against God seem like a good thing. He always makes happy hour seem like a good thing. He always makes one hit of that drug seem like a good thing. He always makes one time in adultery seem like a good thing, or one time in fornication, or one time in a lie seem like a good thing. Well, the devil is a liar. Everybody say that again and again and again. The devil is a liar, and he will lie to you. He will always make you think that rebellion towards God is a good thing, and somehow you're going to be blessed. Somehow you're going to benefit. Somehow you're going to come out of it ahead. You're going to have more fun. You're going to have more prosperity, more fame, more fortune, more of everything if you just rebel against God, and you shall surely not die. You're somehow going to come out of that sin, and you're going to be ahead of the game. Well, the devil is a liar. I'm going to stop right there right now. The devil is a liar. And he will lie to you. He's lied to me. He will continue to try to lie to you. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to give you instruction so that you can listen to the Spirit of God and you know which way to go. You know what to do. And when God gives you instruction, you know to stay away from those things of the devil. And so that is why we need the Lord, and also We need the Lord for our eternal salvation, for our eternal redemption, and we need the Lord. Beloved, you need him. I need him. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, get down on your knees, repent of your sins, all those ways that you have accepted the plan of the devil for your life, and repent of that, turn from your wicked ways, confess your sins, receive the blood of Jesus to wash your sins away, get baptized, immersion, baptized in a pool of water, have somebody baptize you, get into a good Bible-believing church, start reading your Bible, and you will be on the path of the knowledge of good and not the knowledge of evil. And so we pray for you that that is a decision that you will make today. I pray for you that you will move forward in your walk with the Lord, and you will not be alienated from God any longer in your life. Well, next week we're going to keep going here in Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at what happened after Adam and Eve fell, after they took up the plan of the evil one, what happened in their life, and we'll take that up next week. And so we hope that you are tuned in for this continuation of teaching in Genesis chapter 3. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for all of the blessings and for the trials and tribulations as well. And we thank the Lord that we have been able to bring these messages for many years. If you would like to support this radio broadcast so we can keep these messages coming, stay tuned for contact information. And if you would like to support the mission in Africa, the good projects we have going on over here, stay tuned for contact information. We'd like to hear from you. Sit down today, do it today. Contact us, let us know you're listening. Write out a check of support, or you can go to the website or to PayPal and make a contribution with your credit card. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information right at the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.